Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Lee Gibson. She goes by Metaphysically. Love that name, by the way. It's just so fun for me. She's a psychic medium. She's a channel. She does energy healing work. And Lee, this is, I think, your third time on my show. Welcome to the show, girl.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it. I know that you always say I'm a channel. It's kind of funny because there are times that I guess I do, in fact, channel. But like, I don't know that I even consider myself truly a channeler. It's just that sometimes it kind of pops through when I'm not expecting it. So it's always, but it's kind of cool to see from the outside, you know, somebody's perspective from the outside to say like, oh, these are the things that I watch you do. These are the things I see you.
You know, it's funny because sometimes I even channel my mom. Like I'll just be talking to you guys and say, okay, this is exactly coming from my mom. And it's not like we're, you know, going to some kind of weird trance. You know what I mean?
And yeah, you know, not that this is the topic for today, but actually I think it's interesting to mention real quickly because I've always said that I kind of believe that there are different kinds of channels.
Yeah.
You know, and just like I talk about, like meditation doesn't have to be sitting on a mountaintop with hand mudras chanting om. Like meditation can be movement, or it can be doing something that you truly love and your heart gets into, like, you know, art or writing or something. And I think people, when they really open up, they are actually channeling that kind of like talent and love and passion through them. So, you know, the writer who ends up just writing straight through, that's a channel.
Yes.
And, you know, so I think that there is that, but then there also are trance channelers that fully go into a trance and channel something outside of themselves. So I think it's just kind of a nice distinction for people to understand that there really can be different forms of meditation, different forms of channeling. And, you know, sometimes that's your own self or higher spirit, or even there are mediums who are trance channelers. They actually connect in a trance channel format to bring past loved ones through.
Yeah.
So I think it's just good for people to understand, like, it's not just one tiny little box. There are different forms of all of that kind of stuff within the spiritual community.
Like automatic writing. You know, when I was doing, when I was doing my book, every book I had, there was a part of me going, I don't remember really writing that. I know I did. When I talked to a near-death experiencer and they're like, that's exactly how it works over there. How did you know about the council? And I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
So- I mean, even not that I recommend this, but even people like driving to and from work, you know, it's like there's so much muscle memory and it's so automatic. And sometimes people come up with like the greatest ideas, like in the shower or driving somewhere that you've driven 100 times. That's kind of that open third eye, crown opened, channeled, intuitive state. Like you're just in the flow, you know? So I think that's actually kind of circling back around to our topic for today, because I think it's important that we don't get stuck in these tiny little paradigms and put everything in these little perfect boxes to help it make sense for us within the spiritual community too. And one of the things that I went through a huge amount of last year was that I was going through like another long-term, slow-moving awakening to understand that there were very different viewpoints that a lot of the New Age spiritual community has, and that I was taught and mentored into. They had always kind of sat a little funny for me, and I felt like people were just sort of talking around them and not making sense for me. But in my view, because I was new and I was, you know, being taught by people who'd been really doing spiritual practices for a long time, I was like, well, they know more than me, so they must be right. And I came into this place where I was like starting to question it all. And I think that's okay. I think if we get too deeply entrenched in this is the way it is and the only way that it is, you know, it's one of the things about the spiritual community that really concerns me is it creates more elitism and divisiveness.
I think so
when
too.
When really as spiritual beings, isn't the whole point that like we find that one consciousness that we come back together with each other?
Yes.
You know, and I do it too. Wow. I am not immune. I started to experience all of these intuitive thoughts and pushes and nudges to make me say, I don't know that this feels like truth for me. And things like, we're going to talk about background people. Some people call them NPCs or things, or if we get to 3D, 5D, some of that just didn't ring true for me anymore. And I was starting to recognize that it was because I felt like it was pushing it into you know, either verging on or falling into conspiracy, or really kind of putting it into like a new age spiritual box that was just sort of repurposed from other, you know, old religious ideas or things like that.
Exactly. Just so you guys know, we're going to start talking about, well, we decided to talk about the backdrop people or the background people or what some people call the non-player characters. We'll start with that. And if we get to the 3D versus 5D, we'll talk about that. If not, you can come back and we'll talk about that. So I did a little research because Dolores Cannon, who I absolutely love, and I think there's a lot of credence to what she writes, and I am never going to discount that, because she was the person that started all of this when she was just a person trying to help people stop smoking, okay, and help them with eating disorders. And all of a sudden, they would jump into what she discovered was past lives. And then they would tell her things, and she would start taking notes and putting things together. And one of those things was, and there's so many, were backdrop people. And they were telling her, she was like, well, what is that? And they were saying backdrop people are the people that do not have souls. But like, let's say you go to a football stadium and there's a lot of people there and you're there with your crew. Your crew all have souls, but all those other people are people that are in a hologram that you created and that don't have souls. And you created these backdrop people. And I have never really thought that was, it just doesn't resonate with me. Although I do think there's nuances. So let's talk about this, Lee. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm more along the lines of your thinking on this, because to me, that's a very egocentric viewpoint that, you know, the world revolves around me and me alone, which is not helping. Right. And I think there are kind of several levels and layers to this. And I agree. I think that there's a lot that Dolores Cannon tapped into and brought to the forefront that has so much value. I mean, I had a QHHT session with somebody who was finishing up their certification. It was very eye-opening and really incredible for me when I had that a few years ago. Yes. I think that there's a lot of her work that was really kind of profound, especially for the time in which it was happening. Yes. But that is something that I do not agree with. And for what, you know, one reason, again, very egocentric. Like, imagine when you're a baby, what is it, around 9 months or something, is when they start to figure out, like, object permanence. Like, just because we're playing peekaboo, I haven't actually disappeared. I still exist.
Right. Exactly.
So as human beings, we learn that at a very early age, you know, we begin stages not understanding that and then grow into the understanding that, yes, those things really do exist. So I've never been to the pyramids in Egypt, but I know that they exist.
Exactly.
They don't unexist just because I haven't physically seen them myself, you know.
Yeah, that's one of her theories. Yeah, that's one of her theories. She says, you know, the Colosseum don't exist until we decide to all go there and they do exist. Like if you were to go to a conference and it's at a convention center and all of a sudden you're on your way, well, now it exists because you're going there. And that's so holographic to me. And it's so like game player-y to me. But here's the deal. She did come out with another book that was in her Convoluted Souls book. Then her Journey of Souls book came out and she debunked the whole non-character players. But you know what? We all evolve. And you guys have heard me on this podcast say I have evolved so many things that I think about ghosts and how they work and how other things I've talked about with you and other people, Lee, that I just don't, they just don't resonate with me like that anymore. So now one thing I will say, I do think there could be backdrop people or non-player characters in this way, people that don't have souls, maybe somebody whose soul leaves right before they pass away, you know, like in a car accident, or maybe someone with Alzheimer's who's really kind of in between here and there, here and the other side, or maybe even a baby who has not jumped into the body before, because that's a big thing where they don't jump into bodies, from what I understand, until later in the pregnancy. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. And I actually have a couple personal stories that I think relate to that, that for me stood out as proof and evidence. I mean, as much as you can get in this non-physical, you know, situation. For one, my best friend from early adulthood, college into, you know, early adulthood years, passed away in 2012. And when she was very near end of life and in the hospital, there were times that she was coming in and out of lucidity. And 2 days before she passed, I had driven down to the hospital in the evening after work, picked up her husband. I think that particular time my husband didn't come with us too, but we drove down together. We were there with her for a few hours. She was completely not with us. There was no response of any kind. We knew that we were getting near the end. Even to touch or conversation, she was not showing, you know, any interaction physically speaking. Okay. that night I had a dream that I woke up from that was so wildly vivid that I was like, how did I have a visitation dream from somebody who has not yet passed on?
Oh, wow.
I'm actually getting chills from it right now. We were walking down the road that at that time I lived on, and it was almost like everything was moving in slow motion. The sun was shining on us, and her hair, you know, which of course, because it was breast cancer that she passed from, her hair had been long and flowing and beautiful again, as if she hadn't gone through chemo. Aww. She looked younger. She looked healthy. We were smiling at each other. There was just sort of basic telepathic communication of like just the joy and the love that we had for each other as friends. And it was, I mean, even just talking about it now, I can still see it play out in my mind so vividly. So that night we went back down to visit again, and she was only really responsive enough to kind of squeeze my hand and say, I love you. And that was the only thing that we were able to say to each other that night. And, you know, when we woke up the next morning, we had been told that she had slipped more into like an actual, I guess what you'd call a coma, totally unresponsive. There was nothing keeping her alive any longer. We did eventually have to pull all of the life support. Wow. All of us were surrounding her. And this was before I was doing any spiritual work. I mean, I'd always been interested in it, but I wasn't doing healing practices or mediumship or anything at the time yet. Yeah. And I just had like a total understanding that she was kind of stepping in and out of this realm. Yes. And the spirit realm, and just kind of like dipping a toe across, checking it out. You know, she was, And so it was kind of like she came back one last time to say goodbye to us, and then, you know, and then she left for good.
Oh.
And I know from doing mediumship, there are times for both animals and humans in mediumship readings that I've done for other people. I have had several times where the past loved one has said, yes, there was an immediate tragic accident, but I left my body before all of that fully took place. So please understand, I was not physically present to feel and experience any suffering in that circumstance.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for people to understand too, when there's been, you know, a tragedy like that, because it leaves us grieving so hard and feeling so hurt by the idea of our loved ones, you know, going through any type of pain or suffering like that, or even the fear, you know, just, I hope they weren't scared. And time and time again, they have very clearly, even to the degree of telling me like the point at which they left their body before everything took place.
Yes. Well, my thing too is, you know, when I talk to the near-death experiencers, several of them have said when they passed, they didn't feel pain. They, especially one that was in a car accident, she actually left her body before the car hit her. And she said she felt like she kind of had a choice, and she just decided just to hop out. She didn't want to feel the pain. So she saw everything happen below her and was watching it. So obviously the soul was no longer in the body. In that respect, yes, backdrop people, I get that. I get the no souls, the non-character players, whatever. But I don't think it's one of those holographic, I'm playing a video game, I'm deciding what my background is, there's a bunch of just heads in the background, then I've decided they're people, and I've decided I'm creating this Sims game. And I'm like, no, and don't get me wrong. She did debunk that later and says that I don't think it's exactly that way. But, you know, she was the forefront for all of this. She was the person to introduce us to all of this really cool metaphysical, paranormal, you know, supernatural stuff that we're talking about. So I can only just give her so much kudos for just even in introducing any aspect of near death, past lives, you know, any of that stuff, you know, because, and I'm not saying you're right, I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. I'm just saying, I think there's so much more to it. Although I do think anything is possible. So, you know.
Well, even the fact that her later book, she debunked herself in her own work. That's the whole point, is that allowing ourselves to be open to, you know, the life experience, the wisdom, the evidence that shows up for us, and being able to evolve. I mean, who wants to be the same person at 30, 40, 50, 60 that they were when they were 20? Like, no,
we
should, you know, our life experiences and what we encounter should allow us and our viewpoints to be open to evolution when new information shows up. And I think that that's just proof positive of somebody who was, you know, really, like you said, very much at the forefront of a lot of things that hadn't really been experienced or even been presented as possibilities before. She even said, you know, hey, I've evolved. I now have a different viewpoint. And agree. I mean, it's not like Remember when the Wii came out and you could make your Miis and you'd be in the Coliseum fighting and on the Wii, and then like all of those fake players in the background when you could put all the facial features and stuff. But that's not real life. That is a video game. And just because you don't personally know them and you haven't had personal interactions with them does not mean that they are just soulless zombies floating around the world. Yeah. It's almost like manifestation turned into Sims, you know?
Right.
We can manifest. We can create the world around us in certain ways, you know, but not necessarily that the other world isn't already created in some fashion just because we haven't been the ones to create it ourselves.
And you're right, though. It's very me. In a way of thinking like, oh, I'm the one creating this and I'm the one that's making all these people here and I'm the one they're here for. And I'm like, okay, let's calm down. Okay. So let's think about this.
Very spiritual psychosis-y, you know?
Yes. And right. don't be wrong. I do think so much of this could be what maybe came through and she may be misinterpreted as somebody with Alzheimer's who's between here and there, somebody that maybe is in a coma that's really truly not in their body anymore. And they're just on life support and they're not even in a coma. They're just no longer with us. But they're saying it's a coma. I don't know.
That was the other thing that I wanted to mention, because I actually had something happen when I was going through some of my mediumship training that I think ties into this as well, that I had done a like level 2 mediumship training during COVID lockdown with Denise Correll and Samantha Fay. They have a podcast themselves that's called Enlightened Empaths. Okay. And I went through a mediumship training with them and a small group of people. And they gave us really, really cool exercises to work on as a group, like with each other and everything. And one of the exercises they gave us that was an individual one was that they gave us, I can't remember if it was like 3 or 4 different pictures. And they said, some of these are people who have passed on, and some of these are people who are still here and have given permission for you to read their energy.
Oh, wow.
Very important. You never tap into somebody's personal energy without their permission. I'm not going to walk up and touch you and physically without your permission. I'm not going to tap into your energy either, you know?
Yeah.
So we did these readings, and I had one, this handsome young gentleman that I was trying to read, and it was very bizarre. It was like I was getting teeny tiny little bits or pieces. But it felt like I just could not fully connect into everything about his energy. And he happened to be the last of the 4 that I was reading.
Yeah.
And so when we got back together for our weekly gathering and we were kind of reporting like, this is what happened. And, you know, we would report it back like by writing and things to the group. But this was, you know, our personal interaction over Zoom.
Yeah.
And I said, strange thing is that I had the hardest time picking up a whole lot of really anything about this particular gentleman. Mm. It turned out that it was Samantha Fay's father and that he was in advanced Alzheimer's stages.
Oh,
and she said, you know, I actually thought before this class, because of the advancement that he's most recently had, that maybe I would pull him out of this and replace the picture with somebody else, because I wasn't sure what it would be like for people to tap into his energy right now because he's in such severe stages.
Oh,
and he did end up passing, I don't know, maybe a year or so after that. But I found that really interesting. It's almost like it kind of ties into the idea of like, are they still physically here? Like, is the spirit still physically housed inside the body, or are they partially over there? It was almost like a backwards confirmation of like, they may not be fully in either one at the moment, you know?
And it does give kind of a new, you know, definition to a trapped soul. Maybe that's a ghost thing. Think about it. You know, I mean, they're kind of trapped in the body and on the other side. So they're connected to the body and they're connected to the spirit side too. So could they show up in another dimension as a possible spirit to someone else? You know, I'm getting kind of woo-woo, but you know.
That tether still is there to the physical body, but maybe not fully deeply housed and entrenched in the physical body the way that you and I are, you know?
Right. And how confusing would it be for someone who, you know, is maybe his spirit is like, okay, I'm no longer trapped in this body. I don't feel that coma or whatever the ailment I have, the Alzheimer's. Where am I? What's going on? I see the world around me, but I'm tethered back to this body, but I can move around as I please. Let me go to Europe. Let me go to Spain. I mean, you know. Right.
And they can't tell us.
No.
You know, so we would never know because they can't even verbalize that to us in that sort of state.
No.
So, I mean, it's there's some that's speculation and then there's some that, you know, hopefully, you know, if it's something where you've experienced that with a loved one and you have a mediumship reading, maybe you can gain some insight into what their experience was like during that time. But otherwise, that's the closest you get. you know?
It is, you know, like that person that I think I've talked about this so many times on the podcast, about the woman who was in a coma, was out for a week, came back and was like, I can't believe I'm here. I just lived an entire other life.
Yeah.
You know, and time doesn't work the same there as it does here. So it's like her time, it was an entire lifetime. And she goes, and I woke up and what am I doing here? I have a whole family that I just left, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How devastating.
Like, yeah. How can you say like, no, you didn't.
Right?
You didn't experience it. So how do you know?
Well,
you know?
It's funny you say that because real quick, you know how I talked to my dad and he's the one that said, I said, Dad, where are you? And he said, I'm in solitary confinement. And I was like, huh? And I didn't understand. A lot of you that have listened to my podcast know that I can actually talk to my mother and my father now, who are both passed. Well, a medium, oh gosh, about a year ago, right after it happened with my dad, said, oh, well, they don't do that. They don't put themselves in solitary confinement. And I wanted to say, and I didn't, because I didn't want to start anything with her. I think it was a TikTok thing. Somehow she knew that that's what happened with my dad. And I said, well, you know, that was my perception. And my perception was that. And he gave that perception to me to make me maybe understand where he was. Because maybe it wasn't specifically solitary confinement in the way that you and I think about it. But it was, you know, and that was the easiest way for him to communicate to me. And who's to say that didn't happen? That's like saying none of this is happening to any of us. And you're just debunking every single thing that everyone's experiencing. So, and I didn't say anything to her because to me, no message is a message. I'm not going to engage. But, you know, that was my perception. And my whole point is we just don't know. We just don't know.
We don't. And that's, you know, it's one of the beauties, but also one of the, I guess you could call struggles of something like, you know, psychic work or mediumship, is that there's so much that we, as the mediums, we receive information in, it's not always just, here's exactly what it is. Exactly. It's very, you know, it's a, however our perception right. can understand it. So if somebody shows me a specific symbol and I have, you know, personal information and experience in my own life attached to that specific symbol, I'm going to interpret it based on, you know, my experience.
Yes.
But somebody else seeing the exact same symbol either could have an entirely different perception of what that means or none whatsoever and be like, I have no idea. That means nothing to me. You know, exactly. So for your dad to say to you, I'm in solitary confinement, that might have been the very closest figurative explanation yes. that he could give to you for you to have some sort of basic understanding around yes. what he's describing. But it doesn't mean that he's in the state prison down the road right. in an right. actual solitary confinement right. cell where right. he gets no meals and no sunlight right. and no clock. You know, like, of course, in our human experience, that's the only thing we understand that to mean. But that doesn't mean that it's just his way of saying, this is basically what I've done so that I can heal from my right. human experience, because I wasn't always the very best that I could have been. And for my soul to evolve and go through, you know, however he needs to do his, you know, life review yeah. and understand what his actions were and their impacts on the people that he imposed those on.
Right.
So it's his way of saying, this is what I've done so that I can heal and evolve as a spirit, as a soul. But how else is he going to tell you? I mean, like, if he right. even try the near-death experiencers that you've talked to, I mean, how many of them have come back and been like, I can't even tell you what the colors were like because we don't have words
exactly
to describe those colors. Like yes. the colors we know have names to them because we've named them.
Yes.
But if you've not experienced and seen these colors before, there's no name for them, but I don't know how to describe it to you. You know, so how is he going to describe to you exactly what he's going through in spirit world when the whole purpose of us being here in this human form is that we have forgotten all of that spirit world
exactly.
until we get back there again, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've heard the same thing with song and music there as well. So if somebody says, hey, the colors are different and they're almost breathing, they're alive and the music is beautiful and it's yeah. otherworldly. And they're like, no, it doesn't work that way. No, it does, you know, but those are the people that will not and cannot evolve because they're not here to do that. You know, they didn't come here to evolve. They came here to be right. regardless.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. absolutely. There are certainly people that maybe that is exactly the purpose that they chose, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. Because, you know, yeah. we're infinite. You know, our souls are infinite. And we come down here, and I believe this to my soul, that we come here to be the good guy, the bad guy, the man, the wife, the husband, the child, the whatever it is that you decide to come and be. And our perception is it's just that. And, you know, does it resonate with everyone? No, and it shouldn't resonate with everyone, because my perception of that red apple across the street may be completely different to Lee Gibson across the street. She may see an entirely different red apple than I do, but we're looking at the same damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's silly, but like my husband and I had kind of like a spat over what color is that coat? Because I was like, well, yeah. it's green. And he's like, no, it's brown. And my daughter walks in and goes, Dad, that's green. What are you talking about? And he's like, do I see color weird?
You know? He's colorblind, but, right?
He's like, have I been colorblind my whole life and I didn't know I'm 50, you know?
Right?
But that's the whole point. Yeah. We all are supposed to be here for whatever it is that we've chosen to experience, you know? And you and I have talked about that too. You know, I personally, one of the things that I went through last year, I personally don't believe that we choose absolutely every finite right. second right. of our experience here.
Right.
But I do think that we probably choose basic themes for us to learn.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, because if we chose every finite thing, then there would be no free will. But we do know that there's free will.
Right.
So, you know, I think that the free will can come into play for our own personal experiences. You know, if you're given choices and you choose this one in this particular timeline, which is a whole nother discussion we can get into right. on another podcast someday.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the whole point, is that, you know, our perception is going to create our own reality. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the people on the other side of the stadium aren't reality, because we don't physically perceive them yet. I think that they have their reality as well. And, you know, we are sharing this space. We are sharing this world. So we can make those choices. We can live out our timelines. We can use free will. We can experience that. But that doesn't mean that just because we haven't experienced it yet, it's not in existence physically here. So
exactly. And I do think a lot of it has to do with just pure energy and frequency and where you are in those two things. I mean, mm-hmm. If your energy is positive and lovely, and yeah, you have your bad days, but you know, you're going to be in a whole different frequency than someone that's not just typically that way at all.
Definitely. I mean, it's just like you walk into a room, and if you have half the room who's had a great day and they're in a great mood and their coffee tasted wonderful this morning and they've had exactly the salad that they wanted for lunch, and the other half of the room is like, you know, my alarm didn't go off. I woke up late. My dog had an accident before I got out the door. I hit a train on my way to work. They're all in the same room, but their perception of what you say when you walk in might be entirely different.
Exactly.
That's part of the experience too. And then the frequency conversation, that kind of ties into, well, a couple of things. One is that it does tie into the whole 3D, 5D evolution,
yes.
new earth kind of, you know, understanding or ideology around that. But there's also something about that NPC I wanted to mention one more time, too,
yeah.
is that I've even seen people talk about, you know, like, oh, I looked out my front window and I saw who I just guessed was a neighbor walking their dog down the street in the morning. And then the next morning, I opened my window and the exact same person, same dog, was walking down the street in the exact same spot again. You know, and it's like, okay, is that a schedule? Or is that, you know, I've seen where people kind of get into the conspiracy theory idea of like, it's an NPC, these people don't exist, they don't have souls. Whereas right. to me, I'm kind of like, okay, yes, could be a schedule and you just happen to all be doing it at the exact same time. That is a possibility. How frequently is it happening? You know?
Right.
Or I kind of fall a little more into that glitch in the matrix thing. And I've had quite a few myself recently,
yes.
as well as many in the past that I can clearly recall because they were so bizarre. But to me, a little more of that, are we kind of like hitting some timelines together?
Yes.
Are we having like a dimensional something and a weird glitch in the matrix that we're 1 second and it's disappeared the next? And, you know, so yeah, for me and my own personal view and experience, I think that that's probably more likely, but I can't tell them that they're wrong because I don't have any proof that they're wrong. It's
exactly.
just the idea again of leave your mind open to the possibilities of it and don't shut it down and say, nope, absolutely not possible. So.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you have to use discernment. I mean, of course you do, you know, because if you don't, then I don't even know what you're thinking. But I also think that, you know, just because I wore the same outfit that I wore the day before to take my dog out doesn't mean I'm a glitch in the matrix and or whatever. I wear the same crap every day a lot of times because I wear it a couple times. I'm serious, you guys. You guys think I'm crazy. But I'm in the country. I don't see that many people. I may wear the same outfit twice in a week. You know what I mean? And I don't care.
Me too. I work from home and nobody's seeing anything except for, like, you know, my shoulders up if I have to get on a video meeting. Right? So you think I'm not wearing the same comfy pajama pants a couple times?
Exactly. You're wrong. Yeah, I do limit myself. But yeah, but back to the 3D, 5D thing. And Lee and I talk a lot off recording. She's a really good friend of mine. You guys know that. And if you didn't know, you know now. And I was like, Lee, I just don't understand this whole 3D, 5D thing. I mean, and, you know, she has her ideas and I have my ideas. But I'm thinking, it's not like, okay, everybody that's on 3D, you're in a negative energy. You're this, you're that. You're not going to follow us into the 5D. So either you're not going to be aware or you're just going to, the world's going to end for you. I don't even understand why this theory even came up. So what do you think about all this?
Oh, I actually think a lot about this. So for one thing, try really hard to stay away from the idea of quote unquote negative in terms of, you know, yes, I have encountered people that to me feels like a negative energy that, you know, it's like you get into an elevator and you feel that person stand in the corner behind you and you're like, I can't even see you, but something about your energy bubble rubbing up against my energy bubble does not feel good. You are not for me. And I have met people like that. Mm-hmm. And I have eventually found out that I was correct in reading that and feeling that because of the kinds of things that they were doing. So that aside, but the idea around high vibrational versus low vibrational, and I have yet to see somebody talking about it where they're not implying having what we would call quote unquote negative emotions, negative thoughts is a low vibrational state, and that you will continue to manifest negative situations in your life and you won't come with us to the new earth, new world, 5D experience, whatever verbiage they want to use. Okay. Right. First of all, I want to say the reason that we might call them negative is because those kinds of feelings generally don't feel good to us, right? If we are feeling anger or we are feeling sadness or we are feeling fear or we are feeling anxiety, no, they don't feel good, but they're there for a reason. Mm. And it's usually that there's some sort of healing we need to do within ourselves. Right. And even the spiritual community going, you got to do your shadow work. But when people are talking about that from a point of saying the term shadow work in the spiritual community, what they're essentially talking about is something more like inner child work, meaning things that you experienced as a child that caused traumatic patterns. It's like somebody slams a door. Well, if your mom always slammed doors and she was, you know, a yelling, screaming kind of crazy mom that always made you feel fearful and you were always in trouble even when you weren't doing anything. In adulthood, if somebody slams a door, you're physically and emotionally going to react to that if you haven't gone through the healing for it yet. So it's inner child work. It's, you know, healing old traumas, healing old wounds to help settle those patterns down. Now, you're never going to live a human existence without feeling those kinds of things that we would call negative feelings like fear and anxiety and anger and what have you, because that is part of our human experience. You're never going to have it where you don't have those. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to do is unpack and stay there. Right. So when it's coming up, the idea behind, you know, spiritual quote unquote shadow work is that you examine that, you experience that. And it's basically imagine like tiny little Leslie down inside you going, Leslie, I'm so scared right now. Please help me. Yeah. Are you going to look at 3-year-old Leslie and go, stop screaming that you're scared. Just get over it. Let's go. We got it. I mean, ideally, no, you would go, honey, I'm so sorry that you feel scared. Let me give you a hug. Let's talk about it. And so that we can try to figure out how to not feel scared anymore. So the longer you're pushing those away and pretending they don't exist is spiritual bypassing. Right. You're pretending it's not there because I'm an enlightened being. No, stop it. You're a human first. I mean, yes, you're a soul first, you're a spirit first, but you are living a human experience. And if you're having those human emotions, it's asking you, please pay attention. Yes. So the idea of not having them is spiritual bypassing. The idea of ignoring them is spiritual bypassing. Right. Okay. However, having those also doesn't mean that you can't be enlightened at the same time. You can live a high vibrational, loving, compassionate, joyful existence and still become anxious because something scary happens in your reality.
Right.
That doesn't preclude you from being somebody who is a spiritual practitioner or who meditates regularly or who, you know, helps others in their spiritual practice. So the idea as though those are negative, those are low vibrational. If you live there, you're never going to make it. Like,
right.
I don't like that,
no.
First and foremost. Yeah. Secondly, it's kind of the rapture repackaged in New Age spiritual bell.
Yeah, and see, that really doesn't sit well with me at all.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's still the idea of you've done enough that you're part of the chosen few who get to move on to the better place.
Right.
And yeah, and that really, again, it creates divisiveness.
Yes.
It creates elitist, yes, mentality. I mean, even the starseed conversation bothers me in the same way, because I didn't even know for a long time the whole thing about, like, oh, I'm a starseed. That kind of formed out of eugenics. That formed out of, we are the chosen few. We have the best genes. We have the best makeup. We're part of this elite crew that came from the right star system or whatever that is. And also, like, we're all having infinite lifetimes in multidimensional, in the world according to Lee,
yeah.
Multidimensional, and we've all reincarnated countless, countless times that we probably don't even recognize. We've probably all been from a star system at some point, or are currently in another dimension, or will be, you know?
Yeah, so we're infinity. I mean, we've been here since, yes, creation, since source. So, I mean, yes, do you know how many lifetimes I've had on this earth? I mean, of course, and on other planets and other star systems, and maybe not even been human, may not even been alien, some kind of plant life. I don't even know. I mean, right, and I'm still going. And even though I may not be on this earth forever, I may come back. I may not. I don't know. But I'm not going away. Energy doesn't die, and you can't destroy it. You can't create it. It doesn't die either. It just changes form. And that's exactly what we all will do. But saying 3D and 5D, and you're going to be stuck here, and we're going to move on, and she's going to die, and she's going to move. No, what are you doing? To me, that's just separating us more. You're right.
It does. It does. And the first times I was ever really told much about the idea behind 3D and 5D, you know, I was like, I don't really understand. People keep talking about, like, when the earth splits and this new earth, and what does this mean? And I had a mentor at the time who had me so really kind of scared and worried and sad, you know, because I was like, well, I really want to do these spiritual practices. I love, yeah, the idea of doing anything and everything I can, from an animal communication or mediumship or psychic reading or energy healing, especially. I want to leave people feeling better than when they came into contact with me. That I just want to help people feel better. That's the biggest thing, right?
Exactly.
And so if I want to do that, and that is part of my passion and my purpose in this particular lifetime, but now you're telling me that if the other people that I live with, that I love, that I have regular interactions with, my husband, my children, my parents, my family, my closest friends, if they're not following this quote unquote high vibrational enlightened path, that at some point the earth is going to split and I'm not going to be,
right,
with them anymore. Like, how am I, you're expecting me to choose, like, to me, as much as that, I feel like a huge part of my life's purpose in this lifetime, I'm sticking with my family.
Right.
Like, how do you expect me to not be here with my husband and my children? And I mean, I was crying, and she was like, well, you're just going to have to make a choice.
And see,
and I was like, well, yeah, you're just going to never tell me that again, because I don't like it.
Right? I mean, well, that's no, that.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, and I will say this, just to be a little bit of a, you know, a devil's advocate. Okay, the Schumann resonance. We know that the earth is vibrating a little higher, and sometimes timelines change. Is that where it started and then it just became this biblical thing? I don't know, because I do think we are evolving. I do think we're hopefully getting to a bigger, better vibration. I hope we're getting to a bigger, better vibration. So what do you think?
I do too. And I think, you know, for me, the way that this ends up feeling true for me is that, yes, I do also agree that we're going through a massive, massive shift and, you know, kind of heightened level of catastrophe, it seems,
yeah,
in the world right now. But there are cycles of this. And looking back through human history,
yeah,
there have been other similar or mirroring kind of cycles of major catastrophe in human history as well. And then it has all kind of quieted down and settled down again. And, you know, just like the Ice Ages do, and just like the different empires do. And so I do believe that there are things that are happening that are overall eventually going to lead to a place where there is a maybe more inclusive, loving, compassionate version of what we're currently experiencing.
I do too.
But I think that the mass level of the collective that is wanting to shift there and get the entirety of us there, the whole thing's going to go because the mass majority of the collective is going to take us there, not leave the others behind. This is not trumpets blaring in the sky and half of humanity floating up. This is an Infinity Wars where half of us turn to dust. You know, like that's the idea of quote unquote leaving others behind is just so wrapped up in that, you know, religious rapture kind of ideology. And to me, it seems as though people who tried to deconstruct out of religious trauma then fell into that idea because it felt familiar, but safer to them.
Oh, totally.
It wasn't that God is going to tell you this and God is going to, you know, if you don't follow this pathway, then you're going to be damned and whatever. But to them, it was like, oh, now I have some control over my own vibration. And so if I do the right things, I get to decide that I want to move on through the trumpets blaring. But really, it's just that the new earth splits. It's exactly. just the familiarity, but felt safer.
No, it's so true. And listen, we only have one way to go is up at this point, right? So we may we may as well embrace the good vibration, right? Because it's just, you know, So, Lee, I know you have to go. So I'm going to tell everyone where they can find. Well, actually, you're going to tell everybody where they can find you if they would like a booking for energy work, psychic medium work, talking to animals, communicating with animals. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably easiest way to find me is on TikTok. Follow the link in my bio.
Okay.
It'll take you to my website. I do have a website. It's Gibson Spiritual Wellness.
Okay.
So you can certainly search that up too. But yeah, probably easiest way is just go through TikTok and find me that way. And I do have a booking calendar in there. And I do primarily evenings and weekends because I still have a day job. So, but this is my love. This is my passion. Like I said, I want to leave people feeling better. And the hope with a conversation like this today, Leslie, is really just to give people the idea that they can open their mind and their thoughts and their ideology to other possibilities. If they're finding like spirituality feels good to me, but some of these things feel less inclusive and it doesn't feel right, like just allow yourself to evolve with your own experience and know that it doesn't have to fall into those ideologies to be right for you.
Oh, so perfectly said. Absolutely perfectly said. Thank you for clarifying that because guys, you know, I'm here to spread awareness and I don't want to scare anyone with any of this information, but yeah, some of this stuff is just a bunch of caca. Let's just be honest.
I agree. I agree. We need to come together.
I know. So Lee, thank you again for being on the podcast. You are amazing as always.
As are you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.